use, 1939, application of Jacqueline Tyson Hope to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for reception use. That would be weddings, birthdays, retirements, etc., located on a parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 9th, 2012. The commission was provided with a copy of the deed to the property and a survey of the property, showing the dwelling and other improvements on the property. We received comments from the Department of Transportation, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the Sussex Conservation District. We also received an email from Vincent and Christina Parado in opposition to the application. We also received on August 8th, 2012, Larry Steele of an Esquire submitted a letter and attachments on behalf of Jeffrey G. Hastings, president of H&H Brand Farms Incorporated, in opposition to the application, and provided a transcript of that record into the minutes or report of the council. Judith Hope was present on behalf of the application and gave testimony on its reception use. There were no parties present in support of the application. Dennis Schrader, attorney with Wilson Howard and Byard Professional Association, was present on behalf of Wright Properties, an adjacent landowner, and provided testimony in opposition, and submitted a copy of a portion of the survey to the Bailey's Landing subdivision showing the location of a reference 12-foot wide lane, and also a copy of a Google aerial showing the location of the site and the area. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. It was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be denied due to the lack of adequate record to support the application. And that motion carried 4-0. And I just passed down copies of the survey of the property for your consideration. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone here on behalf of the applicant? Sir, you want to come forward, state your name and address?
My name is Joseph Hope. I'm 6393 Bailey's Landing Drive, Bethel.
And what relationship are you to the applicant?
Our husband.
Okay. And can you give your position and reasons for why the application should be approved?
Well, she was just trying to see if she could get a little some wedding anniversaries and birthday parties, maybe once, 3-4 times a year at the property.
Okay. Do you have anything that you wish to state regarding the type of property, the type of building, what use would be used in the building for the conditional use?
No, sir.
Does you have anything else to add beside what was stated by Mr. Lang?
No, that's all I have.
Any questions from council?
Now, yeah, let me just see. Bailey's, because down at the in the beach area, there's been a number of properties that have been doing stuff like this. And they've run into some problems because they're in private subdivisions and the neighbors, you know, because and they don't have the space you've got and things like this, and they do are concerned about it. Now, the road, the access to it is a private road, public
yes.
road?
What yep. is it? A private road.
Private road. And again, you just heard us talking about a private road a minute ago. What's the deal on this private road? Could you tell us about who owns it, who shares in it, who maintains it? What's going on with this private road?
Well, one more person lives in the back of me, and both of us share the cost and get in this property, that road, mm-hmm. to get that road straightened out.
The Bailey Landing subdivision has access across the H&H Brand Farms Incorporated. I believe it's 12-foot wide. And once it gets to the Bailey Landing property, it's a 60-foot right-of-way within that little subdivision.
So it starts out at 12 feet wide and then expands? So it comes off the public road at 12?
Off the public road, goes across the 12-foot easement across H&H Brand Farms Incorporated, and then becomes 60-foot wide on the Bailey's Landing subdivision. And there's four properties, I believe, in Bailey's Landing subdivision.
Along the river there, that, or the creek? That
are okay. 5-6 acre parcels each, pretty
right,
much.
Right. They look very nice. The going across farm fields are like just standard easements, right? The farmers provide for people that with landlocked properties.
Parcel,
right?
The parcel had already existed of other ownership, and okay. It was subdivided into four parcels.
Now, the 12-foot wide part, what's it? What's on it?
It's you just go across the farm.
Stones, dirt,
dirt.
All right. And on each side of the 12 feet is what, just field crops?
Farm field.
Okay. Is there any kind of that you're familiar with, Dave, either chime in on, when farmers grant access across their farms, is there any usually, when it's, something's 12 feet wide, obviously doesn't meet any kind of code, right, Lawrence?
No, right. Well, here's the aerial photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking on here. I was just.
Yeah, that would be an old farm field. It's probably been there for many years.
Okay.
But is there... I'm trying. I don't know what I'm trying. 12 feet just doesn't seem wide enough, obviously, for two cars to get by, or just slight, huh?
No.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, if there's an easement, the person who is granted the easement under law should not do anything to increase the burden on the easement.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If he is granted an easement just for residential uses, and then we've given a or we're providing for commercial activity, which this does fall into. It's not in writing, but you're saying it's traditionally that's the way it's.
No, that's the common law.
That's common. Okay, that is common. Okay, that is common law. Okay.
That existing 12-foot dirt road was across the H&H Brand Farms Incorporated was established through Court of Chancery and Civil Action Number 1658. Location road was established as of April 7, 2000. In that Court of Chancery document.
What happened? 2000? I didn't catch it.
The location of the road was established by survey.
But it's been in existence since?
Established the road was what, 12 foot?
No, I can't. That's, I don't know how long it's been in existence, but it was confirmed on the survey as what I just stated. Existing 12 foot dirt road across lands of H&H Brand Farm Incorporated, referencing Court of Chancery Civil Action Number 1658.
Oh.
Location of road as of April 7th.
I thought you said it was been there since 1658.
Mm-hmm. That's an old
civil action number.
I was going to say that is one old road.
Mr. Hope, do you have a copy of that court order?
No, sir.
So we don't have anything to show the extent of what the order says in terms of your use of it.
This is apparently Bailey's Landing Drive. Here, right? That this road, this must be right here.
This facility is going to serve alcohol.
That was never a part of Mr. Hope's testimony.
But it's for parties and anniversaries.
They would rent to somebody who's having a wedding, and they would hire caterers, and they would hire all, and they would come in and use. Typically, they just use their premises.
But it would be alcohol on premises. Okay.
Could be. Yeah.
That would depend if you have a conditional use that says no.
Maybe your wedding didn't have any alcohol, but mine did.
Did it? You should.
I drank most of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Had to.
Your wife.
Get through it.
Hey, any other questions of Mr. Hope?
I guess not. I know, I'm familiar with what you want to do. I've seen it.
I have a copy of Civil Action Number 1658. I'll pass this down.
Civil Action 16.
Just one copy of it.
Yeah. And what's the?
It's just one copy. Though.
And this is about what now?
For Mr. Rutt. That's a copy
the old
of
Freddie Hubbard
civil.
House, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The great big guy. And you're the new owner?
Yes, sir. Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Hope? Thank you, Mr. Hope. Sit down and we'll see who else.
I got
speaks.
One more question.
Oh.
Are you living there now?
Yes, sir.
Full time?
Full time.
And there's to go, Mr. Rudd. Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this application? anyone who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Mr. Steele, you moved over and let him snake you out, so. Okay.
Oh, no, he's older than I am. Good afternoon. My name is Dennis Schrader. I represent Wright Properties, which is the adjacent property owner to this particular tract of land. I understand, Mr. Cole, you want to focus on the 12-foot road, and in a moment I will give you some documentation that will help you with that focus, but Mr. Steele has been involved in the litigation, has copies of the orders, and will be able to answer your questions in detail, excuse me, as it relates to the 12-foot road. As you have seen this afternoon, Mr. Hope's application is not the typical application one would expect to see in a conditional use scenario. As an example, there is no site plan that would indicate where the parking will be, whether or not there will be any other activities outdoor. There is no indication yet as to whether or not there will be rooms for let in the evening hours so that people can stay overnight. What kitchen facilities, if any, will be intended by this use, whether or not liquor service is or is not going to be a part of the process. I'm like Mr. Cole, I can't imagine a wedding reception without some liquor for those people who choose to have a drink at a wedding.
That's just a company you and I keep.
I believe it is, sir. There is no indication about any signage that might be required for this particular use, but of greater concern to me is that as many of you know, over the course of years, the intention of our comprehensive land use plan is to limit uses that are adaptable to the designation given to this site on the comp plan. And in this case, the comp plan makes two comments. One of them is this is a low-density area, which is intended for agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. In addition to that, there are times when businesses are permitted within this low-density area, but those are when are businesses which support the needs of those two uses, that is, either agricultural activities or single-family detached homes. I would also point out, for the benefit of the record, this is in a level 4 under the state strategies for spending map, and as such, no spending for water, sewer, or transportation infrastructure are intended by the state of Delaware, and this becomes incredibly important for this particular site because there is no central water system on this site, only the well that services the residents. There is no central wastewater collection, transmission, or treatment facility intended in the area or available. And lastly, transportation infrastructure is important because, as has been noted, there is a 12-foot road that services this property. As a result of that 12-foot road, and because of the inadequacy of the sanitary waste facilities, the water supply, there is a real question as to whether or not this site can be safely used for any particular wedding chapel reception type use in this site. You've not heard from the fire marshal. You've not heard from the health department as to whether or not it can or cannot be used for these particular uses. There is nothing from DNREC, Soil Conservation District, or others. And again, in the absence of the site plan and of the inadequacy of septic and well, there's a question to be asked as to whether or not it can be used for this use at all. Now, I want to go back to the 12-foot road and the 60-foot road. Neither of these two roads is paved. According to the letter that was received by Lawrence from the DelDOT on the service level uses of this particular site, it's in thought that as many as 19 vehicles per hour would come and go on this 12-foot road back to service this particular site. I think that's an extreme number myself, but nonetheless, that is the state's response to the inquiry by Mr. Link as to whether or not there is a level of service back there. Given the fact that there are no similar activities or any commercial other uses of any kind in this particular area, if you look at the one of the emails that was received, it's implied that there was intended to be a limitation on residential uses only, and one of the adjacent property owners believed that there would be a restrictive covenant placed on these properties at one time. To the best of my knowledge, it has not been placed that would limit this to residential uses only. As you know from your last conversation with Mr. Fuqua, there are a number of areas in which you can take the opportunity to impose conditions in the absence of a site plan, in the absence of any reports from any of the regulatory agencies, in the absence of any specific expression of intent or any documentation in support of this application, I would ask that it be denied. In addition, I would like to pass up for you, I think I have enough copies of the documents that Mr. Lang passed out, that there should be one for each of you, and that is the plot plan that's reported in plot book 111 that would imply or indicates what the private road is, and also there's a copy of the aerial photo from Google Earth that will show you all that's going on this particular site or in the immediate property. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Questions of Mr. Schrader.
Well, I don't know if it's a question of Mr. Schrader, but Mr. Lang, we've had this problem with some houses at the beach, right? And my understanding, I know having a party at somebody's house or having a couple occasional things, is it's hard to prohibit that, but it's the frequency of is what we think that when you cross, like a yard sale, you're allowed to have so many yard sales, but right. Then when you start having them quite often, all of a sudden you become a business. So
we have a property we refer to as a wedding house.
Right.
That's a violation of the code
because of the
being
frequency.
Promoted, it's being promoted commercially for weekly events.
Right.
And they were advised they needed to apply for a conditional
use. Like this gentleman
and,
has
and
done.
And have refused to apply, but they've, to the best of my knowledge, they have stopped having weddings at that facility. We haven't had any complaints all summer.
You had not had any complaints?
We had some in the spring. We haven't had any since.
The conversation I had with that applicant was that he was going to stop in the summertime because that's when most of the neighbors were all there and complaining. And he's gonna, if he has them, he'll have them in the off season. But he still wants to push the issue. He wants to get violated and go to court.
He basically wants us to violate and go to court. Yeah.
He's arguing that we can't prohibit that, right?
That's right.
Right. Okay. Right. Anyway, so my challenge to you is if he had one wedding. Is that a violation in your mind?
If he had one wedding and it was related to a member of his family?
Do we have to say that? No, if he had one wedding there.
If it is not related to a member.
A friend of the family.
If it's not related to him in some fashion, then it becomes a commercial venture, and in particular if he takes a fee or receives any compensation for the service. So, Mr. Cole, if he holds himself out and says, I'm a wedding chapel and I'm only going to have one a year, Once he accepts a consideration for this, let me finish the answer, and then you can ask the next question. If he accepts consideration for the service of having a wedding there, it's a commercial activity, and it is not permitted.
Okay, what we've seen, our conversation with Lawrence, and we're using an example, they've rented a week. And just so happens that during their week, they're holding a wedding.
And is it a rental property?
That's the question, and I think we've looked at that, and we're challenged by it. I don't know, Dave, I think Everett's been involved, right, a little bit?
Being promoted as a...
Just a rental...
Or a wedding house.
Well, it is, but I'm just saying, his argument is, I've rented it for a week. If they have a, you know, there's nothing to prevent somebody to have
like
a party once they rent and have a legal agreement of a contract. They've got use of the premises for, anyway, and they have a wedding at it. So anyway, I'm just saying there's all these kind of little tricky things that.
It's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question.
But I don't think it's related to Mr. Hope's proposal.
Okay, so you're saying one wedding that wasn't a relative would all of a sudden be a commercial venture?
It would be a commercial venture, yes.
Okay, I guess somebody else would have to, I'd have to ask our counsel or somebody what they think, if that's. If they concur. Okay.
You're asking me to distinguish this application from the one at the beach, and I'll give you just a couple things to think about. One of them is, if it's rented at the beach, there's likely a commercial lessor's license either through the state of Delaware or through any municipality. If it's out in the county and none of those applies, then there should have been a commercial lessor's license for the state of Delaware because it is subject to the gross receipts tax.
Okay.
Secondly, notwithstanding the fact that the property is leased, that property is still subject to the zoning laws, and that does not necessarily mean that because you lease the property, you can have a wedding service there or a party or lease it out for parties. The zoning law is still binding upon the person who is the tenant, the same as if they had owned the property. So if the owner is barred from having a wedding, so is the tenant.
The owner,
sure, Mr. Roy,
only if there's restrictions on that in that community saying that you're not allowed to have those things.
No, under your own zoning code.
No.
Why would your zoning code not apply
anyway,
to the tenant?
I'll ask David. I think we've had a difference of opinion, right, on that.
Well, yeah. Again,
I think Lawrence and I have, and with anyway, that's another
subject.
Day. That's
right.
A different day. Okay, I just wanted to question you because
thank you.
We're having that debate.
Yeah, I think we had one in Cool Spring that neighbors didn't particularly. You remember that one? It changed over to it's a school now. It's a lot happier neighborhood. We did have something similar.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Any further questions of Mr. Schrader?
I guess not.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rudd.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition?
Mr. Deaver, Councilman. My name is Lawrence Steele. I'm an attorney in Georgetown. I'm here before you representing H&H Brand Farms, a Delaware corporation. Mr. Jeffrey G. Hastings is president of that corporation and would be here today, except he cannot due to his business. There is in the file, and I ask it be incorporated into this hearing, a letter from Mr. Hastings, which indicated the nature of the easement. The letter's dated August 7th, and that he will not allow an expansion of the 12-foot Woods Road, which is over his property. There's also a letter from me of the same, of the next date, the 8th, I believe, setting forth the position of Mr. Hastings and certain objections I have. Mr. Schrader has dealt at some length with what is not present in this application, and if I can take just a moment, because I think a larger chart will help. I don't have a very good way to pin this up, so let's hope it stays.
Your assistant Dana White is coming up.
Yeah.
You want to hold it? Do I have an assistant? Thank you, Mr. Schrader. He does a very good job.
$2.50 an hour.
First, I would like to correct one thing. Mr. Lank said he believed there were 4 lots in Bailey subdivision. There are, in fact, 5. It was an original 1-acre lot dating back into the 1860s, which has since become incorporated into the 5 of the other lots. This was originally a 110-acre parcel, a farm, a Dolby farm, and this one-acre lot that was there. It was later sold, and the later purchasers tried to put in a 60-foot entrance road from Beagle Club Road into this subdivision across the lands of my client, H&H Brand Farms, which is tax map parcel 232-11-1. This resulted in litigation in the Court of Chancery, which is in the files from Planning and Zoning, and I request both the case and the final order be made a part of the record here, limiting this access to a 12-foot wide Woods Road. The Court of Chancery specifically noted that this was a pre-existing road. We had photographs going back, thank you, Dennis, at least 70 years showing this road. It serviced what used to be, back in the 1890s, a landing up on the Nanticoke River. The property was then sold with the 1-acre lot in the middle. It was sold as a 110-acre tract. And with Mr. Lawrence Lank can speak to this better than I can, there was an exception allowed back when this was sold in, I believe, 1995, and you all allowed 4 lots to be created out of that 110 acres as allowed by the zoning ordinance at that time. So at that time, there were 5 lots generated, and that's what's still there. One of these lots is the one which is the subject of the application today. I wish to refer to the letter which is in the file from Mr. Hastings, dated August 7th, 2012, which I've asked to be incorporated into this hearing, And note his last wording, no additional width for this road will be allowed over lands owned by the corporation.
Do you have a copy of that letter?
The corporation will not allow the excess use of this woods road across its lands for the purposes proposed by the applicant. I also note that the final order of the Court of Chancery limiting this to a 12-foot wide road is recorded in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds and Mortgage Book 438 at page 217 and was so recorded on December 8th of 1994, which means when the applicant took title to his land or her land, that this was of record for all to see, as well as this plot, which you just saw, which is a revised plot recorded on February 23rd, 2007. So there is no question that this was a matter of record. The safety issues raised by this 12-foot road, the applicant has submitted what I'm now holding up, which simply shows Bailey's Landing Road and could lead the council to believe, and may have led DelDOT to believe, that there was a full 60-foot width for this Bailey's Landing Road, because that is what Bailey's Landing Road is within this subdivision. However, once it leaves this subdivision, it is 12 feet wide. I submit on behalf of Mr. Hastings and H&H Brand Farms that this roadway does not provide an adequate roadway for anything of the type being requested here. It just so happens there was a fire truck parked out in front of the fire hall when I walked over here and I paced it off. It's 8 feet wide. You cannot have a fire truck going in on an emergency or an ambulance coming out at the same time and be able to access this property. One thing I didn't mention, which is in my letter, this road is 800 feet long, 797 feet, 800 feet long. This is not a small distance. I have, excuse me. Consequently, I am requesting on behalf of H&H Brand Farms that this application be denied. If you have any questions, Mr. Schrader is correct. I have a very extensive knowledge of the history of this property based on the litigation. I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Question to council.
Representing
H&H Brand Farms.
You are the attorney for H&H.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. The adjoining land owner over whose lands this road passes, this access road passes.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions of Mr. Steele?
I'm going to say something that's a little bit off center, but I think I need to say it. You address me as Mrs. Deaver. I'm a councilwoman. I'm a member of council.
Yes, ma'am.
Just Mrs. Deaver.
Oh, I know that.
Thank you very much for showing me that respect. But I really would appreciate if you would call me Councilwoman Deaver or members of council. Thank you.
Well, I related everyone else as gentlemen, and that's why I tried to make a difference. I apologize, Councilwoman Deaver. I did say, and I apologize.
For the record, you can call me Mr. Phillips if you want.
Yes, Councilman Phillips.
Any other questions of council?
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Steele.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application?
Like that one on my.
Seeing none, the public comments portion of the public hearing will be closed.
We'll close public comments, and as council has any questions or concerns, we'll close public hearing.
Now, let me make a clarification or expansion. The grant of the easement in this, according to this case, was an easement granted to DENREC or the state with the right to expand to the 60 feet. And they held here that the subsequent owners themselves didn't have the right to expand to that 60 feet. So, and it clearly says that the section that's 12 feet long, that's the extent of the right. 12 feet.
12 feet wide.
Yeah, 12 feet wide. Thank mm-hmm. you. And it cannot be expanded, so mm-hmm. it's 12 feet.
So the court said 12 feet's it.
Correct.
The end. All
right, all right. Well, if it can be expanded, the owner himself has to make a...
Whoever owns that land would have to grant them the right. Thanks. I have another.
Yeah.
If you would read the short title, we'll see if the council will take action.
Okay.
Condemned?
This is, again, conditional use 1939, application of Jacqueline Tyson Hope for conditional use of land in an AR agricultural residential district for a reception use. That is weddings, birthdays, retirements to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 6.49 acres more or less, lying south of Bailey's Landing Drive.
Turn it off, Sam.
Is he finished reading?
0.6 miles west of Route 487A.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make a motion that we approve, what is it, CU? What number is it, please? 1939.
I have a motion to approve CU 1939. Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a second. I have a motion and a second to approve CU 1939. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Sorry, I'm going to have to vote against this one. I appreciate what they want to do with the property, but we don't really have a complete file. We don't have enough information here, and there's too many problems with the road. I vote no.
Cole?
My vote will also be no because, again, lack of enough information, site plan and all that stuff. But the limitations placed on the 12-foot road by the courts have basically sealed the fate, I think, of that these parcels back there for these kind of uses, and it's, you know, it's hard to get around the courts.
Come on.
Whether you like it or not.
I agree with planning and zoning. There is a lack of an adequate record. It's obvious that there's going to be serious transportation concerns, public safety concerns. My vote is no.
Wilson?
I vote no with P&Z.
With P&Z's recommendation and with the lack of a record being built, I also agree that this is, at this point in time, not a good application. I vote no.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Hope.
Sorry.
Next application is conditional use 1940, application of Phil DePenna to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a physical training studio and gym to be located on a parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100 containing 33,418.9 square feet more or less, lying east of Route 13A, 1,000 feet of road, or 1,000 feet north of Road 480.
This application was reviewed through a public hearing by the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 9th, 2012. Information was provided with a copy of the site plan. It's just passed down to the council members. We received comments from DLDOT on June 1st, 2012, County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division on August 3rd, 2012, and the Conservation District on August 6th, 2012. Phil DePenna was present on behalf of the application and gave testimony. Chester Porches, the landowner, was present, stated that the site had previously been used for a recap tar sales and service, a sandwich shop, and a church, and the other business-type uses in the area include a bait and tackle shop, an automotive service garage, car sales, and a skating rink. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Wheatley stated there should be minimal impact on the area. On August 9, 2012, there was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On August 23rd of 2012, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1940 for Phil DePenna for a physical training studio and gym in an AR1 agriculture residential district based upon a record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use will be very limited in scope and is situated in a property that has historically been used for commercial purposes. There was testimony that it has been used for a recap tar sales and service shop, a sandwich shop, and a church. This proposed use will be consistent with the history of the property. Two, the applicant intends to reside upon the property and control its use. Three, the use will be a benefit to the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents because it will provide a gym and physical training studio for residents in the Seaford and Laurel areas. Four, the proposed use will not have an adverse impact on traffic or on adjoining adjacent or neighboring properties. 5, their proposed use is consistent with other small businesses in the area, including a bait and tackle shop, garages, car sales, and a skating rink. 6, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be for a physical training studio and gym situated on the first floor of the existing building on the site. B, 1 lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. C, parking for clients shall be clearly marked on the site, and the location of parking spaces shall be included on the final site plan. D, all entrance and roadway improvements shall be subject to the requirements of the Delaware Department of Transportation. And E, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Johnson abstaining. I received no additional information from an individual or agency to date since that date. That's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone present to speak on behalf of the application? Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
My name's Phil DePenna. I live at 120D. Willow Oak Avenue, currently in Ocean View, Delaware, and we'll be residing at this facility in Laurel. And like I said, there are other businesses in that general area. I believe it'll be a benefit to the community because currently there is a facility in Del Mar, Delaware, just opened. There's also a facility, in Seaford on. Name of the road, but the powerhouse gym. It's going to be a much smaller facility than those two, especially the one in Seaford anyway. It's about 1,225 square feet. What I would like to do is have a maximum of 50, open membership of roughly 50 people. A facility of 1,000 square feet can generally support 200 members is a general rule of thumb to go by. Obviously, I don't want anywhere near that type of membership because it is going to be more of a training facility, for the high school athletes and such. I think it's a good benefit for them to have that. I do have, if I could just hand this down. It's just a little, basically just a little diagram to just give you a rough idea what will be in the facility. Looking at be open 7 days a week, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. We'll be doing some group exercise classes, but limiting the amount of people would probably be about the maximum size class of around 6 people.
Okay. Any other comments, sir?
No.
Any questions from council?
Do you have machines that Mr. Vincent could use, a man of his age? This gentleman right here.
I think we can help him out, yes.
You think you could help him? Okay.
I could use a lot of help. I understand that.
That's good news.
Hope they're small machines, yeah.
He said, I think.
I heard that think part in there. Yeah.
Hey, George, I see one on here for me.
What's it, a bench?
It says leg extension.
A milk bench.
Leg extension. Make Sam taller.
Well, we'll try. We'll try your vertically challenge. We'll try to help you out on that.
Yeah, but you got to work on the head.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak in support of this application? Seeing none. Anyone in opposition? No one's come forward, so we'll close the public comment session.
We'll close public comment, yes. And if that's the question of the council, we'll close the public hearing. Please read the short title.
Great. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an agricultural residential district for a physical training studio and gym located on a certain parcel of land being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 33,418.19 square feet, more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Move to adopt.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole, to approve CU 1940. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote with planning and zoning, and it meets community needs, and the government's talking about how heavy we are in America. I think it's a great thing we're doing here. This is a terrific thing.
That was a condition.
You can talk for your Jones.
With conditions. Yourself, with the conditions.
For speak for yourself.
That's what I told her, too.
I'll vote yes, primarily because this property has had a long historical use over the years on that road, which was at one time the main highway to the metropolis of Laurel when I used to live in Seaford, so I'm very familiar with the road. And anyway, I'll vote yes because of the historical uses over the years.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes. It doesn't appear it's going to cause any community problem. It does have a historical use, as Mr. Cole said. And I might end up going there myself, so there's obviously a need. Yes.
Wilson.
I vote yes, a little peensy.
Also, based on planning and zoning recommendations with the conditions, and it's certainly that building's been used for a long time as a commercial semi-use for anything else, so I think this would be a good thing for the community. I'll vote yes, motion carried.
And there are no more public hearings.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes for the conditions.
Mr. Phillips.
What are we doing?
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried. We are adjourned.